This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available if at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Yeah, I mean, this is star-level production, no question about it. Like I said, it's been the power lately, but what great players can affect the game is in a lot of ways, and Pete has that ability, and some days it's the defense, some days it's the base running, but he's in a good place right now for sure.
Craig Counsell.
What did he tell us, Lawrence, that we got one of those guys?
Got one of those guys.
Last week when we talked to Craig, one of those five-tool dudes who just make you dream about what the possibilities are.
Right. You may have traded for a star and in the process have also found a star. Now, ideally, what you'd love is for those two guys to be on your major league roster for a long time, mm-hmm. especially considering the amount of very solid players that you also have and have under contract for a little while.
Joe Posnanski, who writes beautifully about baseball, in his email today said, Pete Crow Armstrong is doing more than just leading the streaking Cubs. He's bringing back the much-missed do-everything superstar center fielder, the position once ruled by Mantle and Mays and Cobb and DiMaggio, has been lagging in recent years. Mike Trout's injuries did him in. Byron Buxton's injuries stopped him before he ever got started. We still wait for Julio Rodriguez and, to a lesser extent, Michael Harris II to become transcendent. Now here's Crow Armstrong playing defense like a dream, stealing bases and smashing the ball.
That sounds nice.
Doesn't it? I know. You just want to hang out in that headspace
and
for
now,
a little while.
And now that Trout's moved to right field, because he was that for a while.
He was. He absolutely was.
He's three MVPs. It was watching that guy go get it out in center field.
We thought Luis Robert had a chance to be that.
Well, you know what? And I hate to talk about another team's misery, but the Cincinnati Reds have a outfielder who broke his arm last night. So,
I didn't see that. Who broke his arm?
It's Callahan, right? You think it was Callahan who broke his arm last night? They have
it's tough to come back from those.
Yes, in the same season for sure. I believe they need an outfielder.
Interesting.
Again,
I saw Jim Bowden had like five trades that should be made. I forget where he had Robert going. He had Robert going somewhere as well. So, like, maybe the dream is alive.
Tyler Callahan. I saw it this morning. He was trying to make a catch down the left field line, and I think he either his arm got underneath him or his arm hit the wall and he broke his arm.
That's brutal.
I knew it was bad because the ball was right next to him and he didn't even motion towards it. He was hurt so bad.
Bowden had the Rangers trading for Luis Robert, which is interesting because the Rangers are clearly in an odd, desperate place because there seems to be some good teams out in the American League West, and the Rangers ain't one of them. You see who the Rangers just hired as a hitting coach? Brett Boone.
Booney?
Mark Grody's guy, Booney.
Did Grody break that story?
He should have. He absolutely should have. But yeah, so Bowden had the Rangers going for Luis Robert Jr. for a couple of young prospects.
Yeah, I thought that that was his. I thought that was the That's Grody beat.
He's been on the Brett Boone beat for quite some time.
He was on
time.
Like last week.
Yeah, he was on
he
the,
didn't
yeah.
tell him. Yeah. Hey, no. By the way, hey, I'm going to be a Major League Baseball hitting coach.
Right. Keep an eye open for a little something something yeah, for no. your guy Booney.
I mean, seriously. Can't
maybe he
that?
Knew and didn't tell us.
I mean, Groats, come on, man. Well, yeah, you know, man. You're right. He might be protecting a source. Maybe he gets to something down the line, a bigger story down the line.
I wonder if the source is Brett Boone.
Quid pro quo.
Boone, Boone,
but anyway,
Boone.
To get back to PCA and this star turn that he is having, we had a really wonderful conversation with Cliff Floyd yesterday. And Spiegs was talking to him about how teammates handle stuff like a guy becoming a star.
So the biggest thing is, you know, when he falls on his face a little bit, right? You got to be there to pick him up, dust him off. Pick him up, dust him off, say, hey, it's going to be all right. You know, like Matt Shaw goes down. Justin Turner, I'm having a conversation with JT. And I was like, Jay, what's up, man? Is this dude going to, like, figure it out? He goes, he'll figure it out, but he has to get out of his own way. He has to figure out how to get to the point where – maybe his batting stance might have to change a little bit. Maybe some things have to move a little bit, but he's going to get it. PCA was able to come up, get a cup of coffee, go home, work on some things. And then he was like, oh, I got this. Like, I can do this every single day. I figured it out. Like, I don't have to, you know, struggle for a long amount of time. I know some pitchers going to get me, going to eat my bat up every once in a while. But tomorrow's a new day. He gets that already.
So PCA sees it. And has made the adjustments, was up, was down, now is back up. That's interesting because that comes off like an endorsement of process for Matt Shaw as well and a plea for patience on that front.
Well, the thing is that there is a history of that. Like Ian Happ went down. And if we would have more time with Carter, I would have loved to know how he would answer the question about what they want Matt Shaw to do because – you don't want to give away the store if the guy does make it back. You don't want to, well, here are the things that we think he's not good at, and then that be something that teams continue to exploit.
No, but you could tell us if there's mechanical changes that are going on. I haven't watched video of what's happening at AAA. I did see Matt Shaw had 4 hits the other day in a game.
I think Evan Altman is saying that he's getting close, and I trust Evan's eye. Like he is someone that when you talk about like looking at bats and not just making wild proclamations. I have to check Cubs Insider real quick, but I thought I saw him post that.
I got to say, props to Nicky Lopez for just being happy to be here, have a job.
He had a couple of really strong at-bats last night.
He did, and he's been playing a super solid, sensible third base. He had a great play Saturday night. But he also had a bunch of like just really solid plays Saturday night, or I guess it was Friday night, whatever it was. But like just what Vidal Brujan didn't do last Sunday night in terms of attacking a ground ball and understanding the timing of the infield and throwing out a fast runner, Nicky understands like the timing math of the infield, even though he was not a career third baseman. Like you've seen him a couple times, like be pausing, waiting for a hop, and then attacking the ball while going into his throwing motion.
I will tell you that that play that he made last night is textbook how you teach to play on your toes at third base. The replay, they had a replay from the left field camera and seeing him bounce as the pitch is thrown and having his momentum going forward. That's the type of geeky bleep that I love about baseball.
That's what it's got to be. And that's what it's got to be when you're at a defensive position. Be the nine hitter and play really good third base defense.
And you can get yourself a major league contract.
Yeah, and maybe you get yourself a postseason share, you know?
Well, he's definitely going to get that now. You know what I mean? Like, he's played enough already to get that.
You might get starts in a pennant race.
Or defensive replacement.
Sure,
you know,
sure.
Come in to help close the game out. I was right. Evan Altman wrote, Matt Shaw, quote, ready to go back after making adjustments in Iowa. Moises Ballesteros pounding on door.
Ready to go back. Is that a quote or is that Evan's assessment? That's interesting.
Hold on. I'm going to read a paragraph here.
Because we all know what the plan is at third base because Jed Hoyer told us that hope is the plan. Evan, at third base.
Evan wrote yesterday, Matt Shaw started his time back in AAA going 1-for-17 and looking for at least looking at least as lost as he'd been in Chicago prior to being demoted. Even after making some adjustments to get back to his natural swing and timing, there were concerns about a lot of grounders and a lack of hard contact. But process is more important than results, and when it comes to sustainable success, and Shaw appears to be getting back to the right place mentally. Quote, when he came back, the confidence was down a little bit. Iowa's Cubs co-hitting coach Rick Strickland told Tommy Burch of the Des Moines Register, of course, it should be. He's struggling, right? So
here are some details a little further down, Lawrence. Thank you for hipping us to this. From Evan, Shaw looked to have narrowed his stance a little and may have been overstriding, which led to his head moving a little too much and his load being too light. That can all be a tricky Ouroboros, thank you, Evan, to undo because the cycle of mental and physical factors feed into one another with no discernible beginning or end. So interesting. So there has been some mechanical stuff to Evan's eye anyway.
And if you're not following Evan and you're a Cub fan, you're doing it wrong. That guy puts in the work. He covers this team and he shares really, really cool stuff. But again, back to PCA. Because that's where this conversation started, is us talking about PCA. This is what Nico told us a couple hours ago about advice for a budding star like Pete Crow Armstrong.
Yeah, man, I think we've got a pretty great situation in our clubhouse as far as the people that he has around him, and not that he needs a ton of help, but I think we got a nice combination of veterans and people that are pumped to see him succeed, but you know, also give him a healthy amount of grief when he does things that are unique, and so it's all part of it, and it's part of the fun of a season. And if any suggestions from my end, it would just be to continue to be himself and continue to make the energy that he brings every day about winning and about the group. And he's done that and then some, just with his daily work, his actions. I mean, he's the first one in the cage, first one on the field doing early work. Like, there's a lot going on behind the scenes that people don't see, and you know, I hope that's not lost on people, all the work that he's done. Like, he is an incredible talent, but to improve this much at the major league level takes a ton of work, and it's not by chance. He's really earned that, and he's going to keep developing, and who knows what he can be.
I hope that we're talking about this part of the story all year, because that means that the Cubs are having a great season and PCA is an all-star and they're working towards something. It would be fun to, like, at the end of the year, compile all of our Cubs guests talking about this subject.
Mm-hmm. PCA blowing up and making sure he stays himself. Doesn't appear to be a huge challenge right now. He likes being who he is, and they all like him being who he is.
Chaos agent, Pete Crow Armstrong.
Preference for chaos, baby.
It's a good thing.
Hey, man, I can't stop looking at this Matt Shaw article. I had missed it. And I'm so glad, because these quotes from the AAA hitting coach, from Rick Strickland,
give us an idea.
Quote, he's ready. He's ready to go back. Well, that's fascinating. So, like, was he empowered to speak on the entire plan? That's a really good get. That's a really good ask by Evan. That's a really interesting, compelling thought. But I don't know. I mean, maybe he's confident again, and that's really good. But if they didn't fix enough, I'm afraid it could be a problem immediately again. So,
well, we'll see.
We'll see.
We'll see if the rest of the organization feels the same way.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host,
Investigator Slater.
We host the true crime podcast, Psychopedia.
Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Hey, Bruce, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see, you know, after the game, there was no, you know, there were four questions about Horton after the two or three questions about Brown and not scoring enough runs. Off of Ray yesterday against the Giants. But again, it ended as Craig Counsell saying, you know, directly, we're going to go into a meeting with everybody after I talk to you guys. So the decision was made at some point yesterday before they got on the bus and went to the airport to go to New York.
Well, as we wait for the white smoke to billow out of the chimneys at Clark and Addison, Bruce, what do you suspect? Do you think they're leaning in one direction or another? And should we read into Chris Flexen's usage as a sign of what we think is coming?
I would, but I mean, I don't know. I mean, even if they call him up, there's a chance. You know, what if they use Flexen as the opener, right?
Yeah,
and they give him a softer landing that way by. You know, maybe Flexen goes after he goes after Alonzo. He goes after you know, the tougher hitters at the top of the lineup, and then Horton comes in. I mean, there's a bunch of ways you can cut it, but I think the conversation, you know, again with Counsell and then yesterday with Hadavy is, and Hadavy said it straight. I said to Tommy, if you're ready to come up, does it matter whether it's in New York against the Mets or anywhere else? He said, no. He said, my opinion is that if you're ready to pitch in the major leagues, it doesn't matter. Okay. So, but that, again, that's his opinion. He might not have been asked. It probably was. And we'll see how it comes out. I think, like we talked about 2 days ago, he's the best choice right now. Let him throw 75 pitches against the Mets, and let's move on with a power arm in the Cubs rotation, because certainly they need the depth right now, and they need that arm. If you believe in him yesterday, you have to believe in him today and move forward with him.
Yeah, I got to be honest with you. I think that at first I was thinking, If you're rushing the kid to make a start, then what are you doing? But if he's ready to go, then the same question would hold. What are you doing? If he's ready to go and you're holding him back, I guess, Bruce, and I know it's not the time of year to worry about it or think about it, but you do have to be aware that, you know, you're down. Right now you're down two pitchers, but you're down one for the rest of the year. And we don't know how long these guys, like, we don't know who's pitching into October. Like we talked earlier, Matthew Boyd hasn't had massive innings the last couple of years due to injury. Can he keep going to October? I mean, these are things you'd like to worry about in another month, 2 months, as opposed to right now. But you just have to be aware of when you're starting the clock on people and how the inning usage will work.
Yeah, I think all that is correct, except you need a good pitcher.
Yeah.
You lost your 1-2. who has the best stuff? Who's the best pitcher to throw right now? Is it Flexen or is it the kid? And, you know, again, they haven't asked you or David or me, but at this point, the way that they've, you know, couched this thing and waited, I think he's going to pitch.
So, Bruce, Ryan Pressly, obviously the other night, had a historically bad outing. And I wonder what they do next time they have a one-run lead in the ninth inning. And I wonder if today they'll discuss ways to is he injured? Is he healthy? Because if he isn't injured and he is healthy, then they got a problem.
Yeah, they're not letting a guy go out there that's injured, okay? And unless he's hiding it from them, because all he said was, I feel great. You know, he had his knee drained, what was it, 10 days ago or so, something like that. And he said, I'm not using any excuse on injury. I feel fine. I just didn't do my job. You know, he stood up, you know, after the game, said flat out, I just didn't do my job. Now, the thing you heard from counsel was key in this during the post game after that game. And he said he's just not finishing his pitches. He can't finish guys off. If that's the case, you cannot let him go out there and close right now. Okay. So you have a Porter Hodge, you have Palencia coming along to use toward the back end. He's been coming on great, throwing 100, 102. Again, you know, player development at this level, if you have the tools, is a part of it. We saw it all last year with PCA, with Bush, with Amaya, Morrell until he was traded. Nothing but player development and guys, you know, improving as they went along because they have a lot of talent. Well, I think they think Hodge has a lot of talent. I think they think Palencia does. So there's going to be some bumps in the roads, but you got, you know, as you said, this is only early May. You got to get to October.
Right.
Everybody's got to be used. And there's a bunch of names that we don't even know yet that'll probably be here over the next 4.5 months.
Yeah, I think that, you know, there are degrees of healthy, like there are degrees of other things in life. And when you're talking about professional sports, it has always been it is when you first start covering professional sports, I'm thinking about my first days in an NFL locker room, and guys have these injuries where you're just like, oh, mother of God, you know, can't bend their elbow because there's some bone fragments in there.
You'd call in sick and they're out making tackles?
I would be hospitalized for years.
Right.
Never mind months. And that's just how it is. Oh, I'll get it cleaned up in the off season. That means surgery. When you are talking about professional pitchers, that, like, just think about this for a second. He had his knee drained. Why do you have your knee drained? Oh, well, you know, there's excess fluid because of what? It is like that is not a healthy proposition. Well, I just got to drain the knee and then I can go out there. And I think it's insane that we try to apply like the rules of health to pitchers in particular or football players ever.
Yeah, I mean, look, Greg Maddux, for his whole career, he didn't go on the IL until I think his 24th or 25th year with a calf injury, and that was his last year. I would walk by his locker, and he'd say, don't say anything, but, you know, I can't pitch until 2 days from now because I just got a shot, you know. And then I'd see in his locker he'd have things like Indocin, you know, which was back then the only way to treat, you know, arthritic situations because – They didn't have the modern medical stuff, and that's the stuff that just it just took away your pain for a while, but it destroyed your stomach. So you're right. I mean, you know, these athletes go through unbelievable stuff to go out there and compete, and like you said, you and I would be in hospitals, and we wouldn't be going out for a long time. They go out there and compete because that's what they do. That's what they know, and it's a tough world.
Bruce, as they ponder what to do maybe in the late innings the next time they have a lead and they wonder about the confidence they have in Ryan Pressly, What role, if any, does any assurance they made him during the before he became a Cub, as he was taking that day that was reported he had to, you know, think about it and he had to have some assurances, does that play any factor now? Is that even part of the conversation?
I think it might be a part of the conversation, but it's like, dude, you're not the guy that we need there right now. We need to get you to be a better form of yourself before we can put you at the end. We're not telling you to go home. We're telling you it might be a different role until we get ready for it. Now, to his credit, Tommy said that Presley came in at 8 o'clock in the morning yesterday and said,
"You probably couldn't sleep."
That's exactly what he said. He said, "Tommy, I'm not going to sleep all night. I'm going to be here at 8 o'clock in the morning." And they started working on refining things. So give him credit for, not dodging the reality of the situation.
Right.
The other reality is what you guys just brought up. They're paying him $9 million out of the $14 million. They paid an extra $700,000 or $800,000 just to relocate him. Remember, he had a no trade clause, right?
Right.
So that's what got him to say okay. But again, all that comes into the mix as well. They don't want to punish the guy or say go away. They want to get the best version of him. But winning games is what the front office is all about. It's what council is 110%, if you could ever go there, is all about. And any promise that they made, 4 months ago or 3 months ago is out the window right now.
Bruce, just a quick White Sox question. Who in that organization hates Tim Elko? Someone clearly hates that guy. Can we identify the human with the control that hates him?
The only consensus I get is that they think he's a one-tool guy and that he's really not of the caliber of Vaughn at this point and maybe never will be, and that's why he's not going to be replaced.
How do you accept that, though, Bruce? The one tool they need, they don't have.
And if he could be as bad as Vaughn, he won't make it.
You have no power, Bruce? Right. I thought you had all the power.
No power. But I will say in closing, the bigger problem was in last night's game with Luis Robert staring at a ball going down the line.
Right.
And costing them a chance to tie that game because he wasn't on second base. That's something, and I'm a Luis Robert fan.
Right.
Yep.
But when you do that, that's the type of example that you have to address right away. So you hope that Venable has done that, whether it's a fine, whether he sits today. You don't want to punish the team because he's your best hitter, but on the other side, you can't be staring at a line drive when you
no
should
question.
Be
so
easily
right.
at yep. second base. Yeah, so I'll it's, leave you with that.
Will it hurt his trade value?
Great stuff, Bruce.
See you,
it
Bruce.
Might. It might. It
yeah,
might.
I know. Might. Yeah. I mean, that's the only thing that goes through your head because they got two things. They are dead set on trading that guy, and they are dead set on not bringing up Tim Elko, regardless.
You're right.
All right, buddy.
Have a great day, guys.
You too, Bruce. Thank you.
One name came up every time, and that was Carter Hawkins.
Carter Hawkins. There is no secret sauce.
My wife said, don't say processes again.
Great people with great processes.
You said processes way too much yesterday.
We're disciplined in those processes.
General manager of your Chicago Cubs.
I got the best job in America. It's unbelievable. It's like, it's awesome. I get to work in a great front office with great people, get to have influence over really fun decisions, and don't have to sign babies.
MLB executive for over 15 seasons.
Carter worked his way up rung by rung in a really remarkable front office in Cleveland.
So, like, I'm the number two, and it's great. Like, people, for the most part, leave Don't. Me alone. Yeah.
Finally, we come to my number two man. His name, number two.
Carter Hawkins with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
We're happy to invite Carter on to talk about his first place team. He joins us on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa app today. Carter, thanks for joining us. What's your experience like in watching the blossoming of a possible superstar with PCA?
Yeah, appreciate you guys having me. And I want to say, listening to the intro there, I'm pretty excited about the Austin Powers comment there that you guys got rocking. That's 3 years in the making. I'm surprised it just came out. So, good stuff.
Well, our guys don't miss a beat. They've got stuff for you.
I know, but 3 years to get to that? I mean, come on. Like, that was a layup a year and a half ago.
No, it's true. It's true. Thank you for playing along. That's what makes it work.
Of course. No, I mean, Pete's playing unbelievable, right? I mean, it's fun watching him every day in the outfield. Obviously, the defense. It's amazing what he's able to do there. But he also, you know, in some ways, kind of does it quietly from a standpoint of, you know, he's getting the balls and getting under balls that most guys are going to have to dive for. So that's super impressive. The base running, you know, obviously we knew that was there, and he continues to make good decisions. And then, you know, the big stuff is that, you know, he's really driving the ball, and, you know, he's not swinging and missing as much, and he's showing that he can contribute in all facets of the game. And, you know, that's just fun to watch.
So the obvious question, Carter, is why didn't you make the offense this great sooner? What's wrong with you? Why did it take this long? Because this is unbelievable.
Yeah, nobody told me to. That's the thing, right? It's like, and finally got to, oh, you want us to work on that this year? Okay, got it. So
I mean, obviously there's a lot of factors here. There's the catchers hitting well and doing what they're doing, and there's Pete's blossoming, and there's Kyle's existence and the effect that has. Like, what do you point at when you're trying to tell people why it's good?
Yeah, I mean, I think my dad had a great quote, or has a great quote. He always tells me, he says, it's better to be good and know that you're lucky than lucky and think that you're good. And I think this is one of those situations where, you know, we've had good approach, we've had good players that have consistently tried to get better, and, you know, it's all kind of coming together over the course of this first few weeks. And look, there's going to be a downturn at some point here. Like, we're going to struggle. You know, we're going to struggle to score some runs. It's a long season. There's no team that is immune to that. But I have confidence that, you know, just like, you know, Dansby Swanson's able to come out of a slump, or just like Ian Happ's able to have the consistent at bats, you know, week over week, to be able to put up the numbers that he does, that, you know, this offense with the approach that we have, you know, have the ability to, over the long haul, score enough runs for us to win a bunch of baseball games.
We were having a conversation before you joined us about the run game. And this offense, to me, Carter, looks like it's got some diversity to it, where, yeah, you got guys with slug in your lineup and guys that are having great years. But it also, with the addition of Pete getting on base more, it allows you guys to do more stuff. I don't know how or if you guys project that sort of thing when you're putting a team together, but it does seem like through 35 games or whatever, you guys are at a place where you can get teams in multiple ways.
Yeah, I mean, look, like, I'll nerd out here for a second, right? When we're thinking about, you know, how do we create wins? It's through creating runs or preventing runs. And a way to create runs is with your bat or on the base paths, and a way to prevent runs is with defense or with pitching. And all four of those things go into how we're building our team. And that's certainly something that we value, and certainly something that, you know, we pay for either in prospects or in dollars. And, you know, it's coming to fruition here with the guys on the base paths. It's also something we develop, right? So it's something that, you know, in the minor leagues or in the major leagues, we're working on. If you go out here, you know, well before the game starts, you'll see guys working on their base running. And those, you know, little times that they're working on getting better jumps or reading pitchers more effectively, they add up. And they turned into runs, and that hopefully turned into wins.
Was looking at the percentage with which teams try to take an extra base on Baseball Savant. Maybe this is the best that I can access. You have your own internal stuff that's proprietary, probably, but Diamondbacks number one, Cubs number two, Tigers tied for number two. That sounds right. That feels right. Does that feel right to you? Are you proud of a stat like that?
Yeah, I mean, so, you know, you're trying to increase your run expectancy every time you take that extra base. You know, you don't ever want to, if you only ran to the next base when you're going to be safe 100% of the time, you know, you're not creating as many runs as you possibly could as a base runner. So, you know, overall, you know, teams in baseball can be a little bit more aggressive than, you know, maybe our mental models tell us to be. And, you know, I think we've taken a good advantage of doing that. We have some fast guys, right? That helps. But we also have some really smart base runners that are savvy, understand where outfielders are positioned, understand the situation of the game. And, you know, hopefully the brand of baseball here is pretty fun to watch. And I think you're seeing that in some of those first to thirds that you're referencing there.
Carter, how would you describe Kyle Tucker's impact to your lineup?
Yeah, I mean, just having a consistent force, right? And somebody that, you know, can hit righties and lefties, that can drive the ball out of the ballpark and get the big hit, can hit great stuff, can hit bad stuff. You know, it's pretty easy for counts to put him in the lineup every single day. And yeah, I mean, he's created a lot of runs for us, and I think he's allowed the guys around him to loosen up a little bit too. And, you know, he's definitely been a catalyst that way.
Talking with Carter Hawkins here on 670 The Score. Have you started to have the Cade Horton conversations that both Jed Hoyer and Craig Counsell said you had not had as of yesterday?
Yeah, we got to figure out what we're going to do, right? I mean, Soto's obviously on the IL. We have an off day. We have a lot of off days. So we can play around with things a little bit here in terms of being flexible with our pitching and then trying to make a decision. But yeah, I mean, we're having the conversation of, you know, how are we going to fill this hole, you know, while Soto's out. And, you know, certainly Cade is one of the guys in AAA that we'll be talking about. And, you know, we'll make those decisions here over the next couple of days.
It's two starts in a row of six innings and 80 pitches, three starts in a row of just one walk. Has he hit all the markers that you need him to hit? And if not, like, what are some of the other factors, if he could enlighten us?
Yeah, I mean, I think Cade and a lot of our guys on AAA, you know, Keegan Thompson's gotten stretched out. He's actually looking really good as well. I mean, those guys can all get major league outs. It's about being consistent. And then for Cade, you know, the thing that he's really been working on down there is landing his breaking balls. Get a lot of swing and miss stuff. So that gets him deep into counts. Gets a lot of foul balls, you know, things like that. And, you know, we want him to try to have him be a little bit more efficient. And when he's landing his breaking balls, he's not going to get as deep into counts and be able to get deeper in the game. So that's what he's been focused on. You know, kind of the underlying aspect of that is just getting his delivery in a really good place. And yeah, he's made some really good strides this year. And to your point, the results have been good. So I'm very encouraged by his progress. And he definitely, you know, put himself on the radar prior to, you know, this Soto injury. And certainly will be in the mix here as we make these decisions.
Doesn't sound like Carter's going to break news, Lawrence. Like, we could keep trying. We could keep working at it.
But wait, why don't we be more direct? Who's starting in Soto's spot, Carter?
We have not made that decision yet.
All right. Okay. Yeah, well, we tried every method that we
tried.
Have.
We tried. And what I'm curious about is, like, I remember a couple years ago, I think I was saying Cade Horton should come up and be a reliever in September. And you looked at me and said, who are you, Jed? So, which is hilarious. So I've never forgotten that. So is Jed still the impulsive one? And are you the patient one in these conversations?
Yeah, I would not call Jed impulsive by any means, but eager maybe. He's probably a little more eager, I guess. And it's good, you know, there's a little yin and a yang, you know, for every Dr. Evil, there's a number two. So works out all right.
Look at that, a callback. That is great.
You're welcome.
Carter, with Soto and him never having to deal with a leg injury before, from an organizational standpoint, How important is communication? Because now you're talking about nuance of language where you understand what an English-speaking player might say, like, oh, you know, it feels a little tight. What's the protocol here when you're dealing with a player who English isn't their first language?
Yeah, it makes it tougher, you know, undoubtedly. And, you know, you try to put as many resources in place and have a really good team around it and make sure it's, you know, not Carter Hawkins or Craig Counsell or Jed Hoyer making the sole decision on what Soto's saying, right? So Soto's got a great team around him. He has his interpreter, Edwin, who's outstanding, you know, and we have some other Japanese influences in the clubhouse between now and Fumi, who works with our training staff. And so we really just try to make sure that we're kind of getting the wisdom of the crowd's interpretation of how he's feeling. And, you know, then we have his agency and the group that's with him as well. So we're in constant contact there. But yeah, it's a lot of checking and vetting the information that we're getting just to make sure that nothing's getting, you know, literally lost in translation. And feel good about, you know, where Soto is, feel good about, you know, what we've seen thus far. I mean, obviously not ideal that the injury occurred, but, you know, feel like that, you know, it's something that he should be able to get back from, you know, sooner than later, and hopefully not miss too much time and then get him back in the rotation.
What happened to Jordan Wicks, if anything happened? I remember in 23, hell, Tom Verducci was throwing around Johan Santana when he was talking about his changeup as like a possible comp. I'm like, oh my God. And like, and now the results have been what they've been. Has something changed with him?
Yeah, I mean, he's backed up a little bit in terms of his performance, and, you know, I think he'd be the first one to tell us that. I think at the same time, you know, we've seen flashes of the velocity, flashes of the changeup that, you know, got some of those comps, you know, a couple of years ago. And, you know, in this game where, you know, things are rarely linear, where guys go up and down all the time, he's got a lot of runway left. And, you know, certainly he need to put on the gas a little bit here to get himself back in the mix. But he's absolutely somebody that we're counting on for innings, you know, not just this year, but into the future. And, you know, I think if he can continue to increase the deal a little bit and get his changeup back to that weapon that, you know, Verducci was talking about, you know, he's going to be good for a long time.
Miguel Amaya was very open about some of the changes that he made, and Craig Counsell worked with him personally, which I thought was really cool. You've seen great production from the catcher position. Was this projected, or is this a happy accident?
Yeah, I mean, we knew that Carson Kelly and Miguel were good, but we were not banking on them to have a, you know, 1,200 OPS between the two going into May. We'll take it, obviously. You know, kind of back to that, you know, better to be good and know that you're lucky type thing. You know, those guys have really, really great approaches. Carson made an adjustment with his hands last year that he's getting his bat in the zone a little bit more effectively, and, you know, getting the launch of the ball, you know, kind of at the angles we're seeing when he's hitting all of these home runs. So, you know, it's gonna be tough to sustain, you know, being the best hitter in all of baseball over the course of the entire year, especially at the catcher position. But gosh, I mean, that's been an awesome happy accident, if you will, and really glad that we signed him up.
Hey, Carter, did you happen to see the front office survey that was on The Athletic a couple weeks ago? Tyler Kepner surveyed a whole bunch of front office and manager types. Did that make its way to you?
Yeah, I'm aware of that.
Yeah, and it was because it was kind of jarring to not see the Cubs like in the top 20 of the way that they looked at that, to see the front office there. And I'm wondering, you're having a great moment. Your team is like top two, top three in every power rankings. Like, things are going just fine, thank you very much. And there's, what did those voters get things wrong from your perspective?
Look, I have a lot of confidence in our front office, a lot of confidence in the people and the decisions that we're making. But I think a lot of those decisions have lagging impacts. I think you're starting to see some of the impacts of the decisions we made a couple of years ago. But as I looked at that survey, like, what reason would somebody have had, right, at this point to say we're in the top five of the front offices, right? Like, there's, you know, not anything that, you know, is happening at that point that would say, yeah, like, those guys have definitely been one of the top five. I think we have one of the top five. I think as the results of our decisions kind of come to fruition here, that, you know, I would assume that we would get votes in the future. Obviously, that's not what we're solving for. We're solving for winning games for the city of Chicago. But yeah, I mean, I read that and was like, yeah, that makes sense. You know, I think about the guys up there, you know, my buddies in Cleveland and in other organizations. And it's like, yeah, those guys have consistently made decisions that were really good. And those decisions have come to fruition. Ours haven't come to fruition yet, but I think you're starting to see that this year and hopefully into the years in the future.
That's a thoughtful response. Appreciated. Do you feel like as an org, you guys have improved at some things that are the consistent challenges, turning castoffs into bullpen weapons, like that kind of thing? Do you feel like you've gotten better at certain things?
Yeah, I mean, I look at it where the organization was, you know, when Jed took over in 2021, and then I look at it where it was when I walked in the door at the end of 2022, and just thinking about, you know, just our ability to make decisions in the draft, our ability to make decisions internationally, our ability to make decisions on the pro side, our ability to make decisions on the PD side and the process. Yeah, I know, obviously, that's my buzzword, but the process below those, there's been real changes, and those changes obviously take a long time to happen, right? If we make a decision on a different way to assess and sign our international prospects, you know, that might be 10 to 15 years before those guys show up in the big leagues, you know, because a lot of those guys are making deals when they're, you know, 13 years old. So, you know, there's just a long patience that it takes to be a great organization. Those teams that we're getting those votes in that survey you referenced. And, you know, we have that patience from a standpoint of understanding that, you know, things aren't going to happen immediately, but we also have the urgency to make the changes immediately in terms of the process. And we've done that. And I think we're starting to see some of the results.
Carter, as always, we appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for the multiple callbacks. We have got a hot five set for you over at Zany's whenever you need it.
It's going to kill it.
I love it. I appreciate it.
Set up this extra point.
It's time for the extra point with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
All right, guys, with an off day for the Cubs, where are you at with the team's hierarchy of needs? Yesterday it was closer. It has been starter since Justin Steele went down, and we know that third baseman is the boogeyman position in the lineup. Where are you on this glorious Thursday morning?
Well, I am waiting and eyeing the chimneys at Clark and Addison, waiting for the white smoke to billow out to find out if Cade Horton is going to start Saturday night in New York. And if it's black smoke, I think it'll be Chris Flexen. White smoke for Cade Horton. And then I'll worry about the starting pitching. I still think that today, as I wake up this morning, and it does tend to change every day, doesn't it? There are three big things, as we know, with the Cubs. You worry about their starting rotation because of the injuries. You worry about their bullpen because of Ryan Pressly. You worry about the third base situation because Matt Shaw wasn't it. And maybe he can be again. But I do think they're probably talking about how creative and aggressive do they want to be addressing each of those issues. With the bullpen, I think you're just going to have to wait until closer to the deadline, fortify it, and try to different things. Porter Hodge may get the ninth inning. Ryan Pressly may get the eighth. That would be something I'd consider, regardless of what you may have promised him in free agency. The starting rotation, I would bring up Cade Horton, see how he does in the rotation that really needs him. We overstated how good Ben Brown was yesterday, I think. 103 pitches, he walked two leadoff hitters, and they cost him. So they need some stability there. Third base, it's a mess. It's a mess defensively. So as you try Nicky Lopez and John Birdie and Bruhan and who else, I do wonder, if you're getting creative, I can't help but notice Moises Ballesteros is down at AAA Iowa. He can't play third, but can he play first? And if he can play first, can you play Michael Busch at third? Michael Busch has played 75 games at the minors at third base, and Ballesteros has played 60 at first base. It's probably not something you want to do in season, and it sounds one of those sports talk radio hypotheticals. But I don't think the alternative is much better. Anyway, I would say starting pitching, bullpen, third base.
Do we have to do that at the same time? Does Ballesteros have to play first while Bush is playing third?
Well, that gets them both in the lineup. Well,
I just think...
Unless
just,
the lefty, then they probably would both sit down.
I'm thinking about what that would look like across the diamond.
Yeah, it might be kind of funny.
David, I love the sports talk radio hypotheticals, and that is a very interesting one. You could also talk about, we could shake it up even a little bit more, and we could say have Nico go to third and have Bush just go over to second. That's another option.
Because they've done that, yeah.
Right? So there are options. Here's the thing.
How many games has Bush played at second?
I have to go to Baseball Prospectus in a second and let you know. What's interesting is the fact that you have answers to some of these questions, David, that you nailed, right? You Michael Busch, is he floundering in the field down at AAA? I doubt it. Nicky Lopez, when in the field, has played well at third base. So again, just right away, I know at the end of the day, they only scored one run yesterday.
Yes.
But I had mentioned, if you're the starting pitcher and you look over your shoulder and there's John Birdie over there at third base, does that worry you at all? Does that upset your confidence at all? It could. People are human. It could be a thing. You also, David, and you and I are in agreement on this, have Cade Horton down at like, there's your... We don't know if he's the answer, but at least he's maybe the answer. You don't know until you let him try. What else is he going to do down at AAA? He's made 10-plus starts at every level. I'm just saying, they have options to answer these questions that we all agree are questions. I think the issue is, right now, I think for this coming weekend, I think starting pitching. You're playing the Mets. So I think starting pitching, the next time you take the field, Over the weekend, that's number one. And by the game, it's a 5:35 pregame, not a 6:35 pregame on Friday.
Thanks for telling me that, because I could have gotten confused, seriously. I would say that it is important to sort of just keep perspective on everything that you're looking at. So it's early in the season, and you're going to have to resolve these issues. I think they need help in the bullpen. I think that bullpens change. Someone may help them that you don't expect. Things are different with bullpens. It's just it evolves over the course of a season. Would it be great if they went out and got somebody? Yes. But to me, the priority is always going to be the starting pitching. The starting pitching has to be the priority because even with some of the guys that are currently your starters, there isn't a track record that makes you believe they're going to be able to be pitching in October. You know, we're sitting here talking in May about what you're going to need at the end of the year. We're sitting here talking in May about cashing in on insurance policies that that may not still be operational by the time you get to October. So you've got to be aware of that, too. But I definitely think, above all else, they probably need a starting pitcher. They've lost a starting pitcher. They've done a good job of covering for it. But by the end of it, of this, you probably need another starting pitcher. I think that would be my priority. I think the bullpen thing, like I said, there are different ways of improving it, different ways of getting better. That doesn't have to be going out and getting Aroldis Chapman, although I believe that's happened and worked before. So keep an eye on that.
He actually may be available.
I really feel like the third base thing should have, could have been resolved in the offseason, and it wasn't. And that's what you're going to have to kind of live with. That is the one of all else that I think you could probably live with, and given the way they've been playing, still be okay. You would like upgrades in all areas. That's unrealistic. I would go starting pitching, bullpen, and then third base in my hierarchy.
You're not wrong. I'm not wrong.
No.
Dustin's not wrong.
No.
It would be wrong to ignore any of them.
I totally agree with it. I'm just saying, if you're prioritizing, maybe that's how you do it. Yeah. All right. We got to get to the show. 312-644-6767. We'll get to your phone calls. Molly and Hall on the score.